Peace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please be seated. I love this story because it gets to the heart of everything. Jesus is on a journey, and a man comes up to him and says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says to him, "Why do you call me good? There's no one good, only one, and that is God. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal." And the man says, "Yes, yes, yes, all of these things I have done since the time I was a little boy." And then Jesus lovingly looks at him and says, "You lack one thing. Go and sell everything that you have, everything. Give it away to the poor and follow me. You'll have riches in heaven." And all of a sudden the story changes because this man is full of possessions and he can't let go of them. It's kind of ironic they possess him. And he goes away disheartened. For those of us that think salvation is easy, this message is for all of us. Because salvation is not that easy. Though there are some people that have this idea that all you have to do is close your eyes, bow your head, say a little prayer, and you're set for life. Like an insurance policy. There's a couple things I think we can learn from today's lesson. But before I get into it, let me tell you my story. This is not true, but it gets to the heart of it. A chicken and a pig are walking on a journey. They're going down a path, you know, and they're just walking along and they're talking to each other just like chickens and pigs would do, right? So the chicken gets an idea. And he looks over to the pig and he goes, "You know, I have this idea. I'd like to be an entrepreneur. I'd like to step outside of my comfort. I'd like to do something really huge, really big, really great." "Well, what do you got in mind?" the pig says. "I don't know. I've been thinking about this and contemplating this. I'm thinking of opening a restaurant, you know?" And the pig goes, "Oh, okay, fine. What are you going to call it?" "Eggs and bacon." And, you know, the pig looks at him and says, no way. I'm not going into business with you. It appears that you will be involved, but I would have to be 100% committed." And this is really what the gospel is all about this morning. It's really about commitment. Here's a man that is seeking some type of wisdom, and we know that wisdom is found in Jesus. I mean, can you imagine having the opportunity to be in the presence of our Lord, to be able to speak to him, to ask him questions? Amazing. And so this man is given the grace and the opportunity to be able to have this audience with Jesus, this hearing, you know? So he comes to Jesus and he says, "What must I do?" "Well, you know the commandments. I've done them all. Go and sell everything." Well, the first thing we learn about this is, number one, is what Jesus says to the rich young man. There is no one good. Now, rather than just telling him this, he shows him this by the questions and the answer and his behavior and the response. There's no one good, only God. The man has a scotoma. I don't know if you've ever heard the word before, but it's a blind spot. I think the most that we are aware is when we're driving a car. If you've ever driven a car, you have to be aware. You cannot be micro-tasking, or if you're doing that sort of thing, you have to really be aware of what's in front of you, what's along the side of you, behind you. And even as you know, there's a blind spot, right? You know, motorcycles come by or people come by, and you have to be aware of that blind spot. Because if you're not, you could kill someone or you could get hurt. This man has a blind spot. He's seeking Jesus, he wants to do good, but he doesn't recognize that he's not good. He almost thinks that he can get to heaven by doing certain things. And Jesus subtly, maybe even more than subtly, lets him know that he's not that good. I don't know if you've ever had the situation where maybe you said it to your wife or your husband or your kids or someone you know, "Hey, where's the salt? And someone will say, well, it's right there. It's right in front of you. You know, it's right on the table, or it's in the kitchen cabinet. And you go over and you reach for it and you don't see it. And they say, no, it's right there. The salt is right there. And you go, I can't see it. I can't see the salt. And you incant that. And you say that over and over again. And you don't see the salt. In fact, it's right in front of you. You know, or your hat's on your head, or your glasses. You know, you're not aware of the blind spot. There's certain things that we know, like we know we're here. And there's certain things that we know that we don't know, like I don't know how to speak Japanese. I know that I can't do that. But there's certain things that we do not know that we do not know, unless, of course, they are made aware to us. You know, maybe we gossip about people and we're not aware that we do it. Or we have malicious thoughts and we're not even aware of it. We have blind spots in our personalities. Other people see them, but we don't see them because we don't want to see them. So the question I have for you this morning is, where's your blind spot? What's the thing that's getting in the way that if you were to have a conversation with Jesus, he would open your eyes? And for all of us, it's different. Maybe it's great possessions. For those of us that are poor, those of us that don't have a lot of things, maybe that's not the issue. Maybe it's some pet sin, or maybe it's gossip. I don't know what it is, because I'm not God. But if God were to speak to us this morning, if Jesus were to talk to us one-on-one, what's the blind spot that we're ignoring, that we don't want to look at, because we're afraid to look at it? So the first point we learn is there's no one good, not one of us. I mean, who among us has not sinned? The other day I was teaching confirmation for the sixth graders, and we were talking about baptism that washes away sin, and before that I talked about sin. Sins of omission and sins of commission, and explain, you know, there's certain things that God commands of us and we just simply ignore him. We just don't do it. We don't give ourselves to him. Or there's sins of omission and commission in the sense that we should do these things but we don't, or we do these things that we shouldn't be doing. We all fall short, as we confess this morning in the beginning of the liturgy. So the first thing we learn from this gospel is there is no one among us who is righteous in and of ourselves. We're not good. The only one that is good is Jesus. And the law, even though the law is good, that law can never bring us salvation. The law reveals to us our shortcomings. The law shows us that we don't always have pure love in our heart towards God nor towards our neighbor. When we look at the Ten Commandments, the first table, the second table, the first three commandments focus on our devotion to God. We are to love him with all of our heart, mind, and soul. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our Lord, he is one God. Love the Lord God with all of your heart, mind, and soul. That was like 25 years ago. I can hear my Hebrew professor saying, hear is not simply, yeah, I got it, Pastor. I think the word in Hebrew was shamar. It still is. Haven't looked at it in years, but I can hear him say to us, the word shamar, the word hear in Israel, hear, O Israel, is more than I got it, I heard you, I listened. Yes, we do that with family members, right? Yeah, I heard you. But the word is really obey. And this man, though he heard, he didn't obey. He heard what Jesus said, didn't he? I mean, he was there, he heard the words, but he didn't shamar, he didn't listen, he didn't truly listen with his heart, in his behavior, in his actions. He didn't obey. And so what the commandments do is they show us our sin, they show us our shortcomings, they show us our need. And if we have a blind spot, hopefully they show us where we have sinned so that we can repent, so that we can turn and face God and find life. For those of us who think salvation is so easy, for those of us who think salvation is going to be for everyone, think of the people in today's epistle. This is a hard saying. It's not easy to talk about. But here's Moses taking the people out of Israel, the writer to Hebrews, whether it was Paul or not, I don't know. He was speaking to the people and saying, look at the example of the Israelites. They were with Moses. They were following Moses, who was a great teacher. But just like the man in today's gospel, they didn't hear. They didn't truly obey. They listened, but they didn't follow. And because of disbelief, they fell dead in the wilderness. And so he takes this and he lifts this and he says, beware. Sure, we have faith in Christ, but only if we continue in Christ. It's not like it's an insurance blanket that we just buy one time and it's over and, oh, I'm in. No, it's more than that. It's sincerity, it's repentance, it's sanctification, it's justification, it's growth in grace. Because it is possible, isn't it, to follow and then to turn around and walk away. Isn't it? It is. So what we learn is, number one, it's impossible to please God by our works. Number two, none of us is good, so our only hope is found in Jesus Christ. In today's gospel, it was so shocking that the disciples said to Jesus, well, wait a minute. If this is the truth, then who can be saved? Like, what hope is there for us? Now, we don't have it in today's reading, but if you read further on in verse 27, they say, Jesus, well, then who can be saved? And Jesus says, with man, this is impossible. You can't do it. You can't do it. I can't do it. He can't do it. None of us can do it. Jesus says how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. It would be easier for a camel to enter into an eye of a needle. In other words, it's impossible. Hyperbole, there's no way. Now here in America, whether you make $20,000 a year or $100,000 a year, you're a lot richer than most people that don't even have electricity 24 hours a day, that don't have running water all the time, do not have health care, do not even have food. We are rich by great standards. But what matters is that we do not cling to whatever we have, that we're not possessed by the things that we own, that we're not possessed by them, but we recognize that the greatest treasure is what is eternal, which is Jesus Christ. Can't do it on our own. It's impossible with all of us. It's only possible by the mercy and the grace of God, which comes to us through Jesus Christ. So, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as those who did in the rebellion. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.